it's always great to talk with Tom Fitton. He, of course, is the president of Judicial Watch, friend of this program, and through his FOIA requests over the years, we have learned quite a bit about what our government doesn't want us to know. This latest one, though, is disturbing on many levels. Tom, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you both.
We were told by the FBI under Christopher Wray, at the time the director, that Mr. Crooks, Thomas Crooks, the attempted assassin of Donald Trump on July 13th in Butler, Pennsylvania, had no real history, no online footprint, no known motive. We may never know exactly what motivated this person. For all we know, he was a Trump supporter. Some people have still floated that he was a Trump supporter. Your FOIA request, though, through Judicial Watch, tell a very different story. What exactly did the FBI get wrong here, or did they know all along and they've been covering it up? You tell me.
Well, it turns out he was wearing a T-shirt with the YouTube channel on which he posted, I guess, all sorts of virulent anti-Trump material. And they knew that initially because we got the documents under a FOIA lawsuit that they took forever and a day to respond to. It was only just a week or two ago that we got the first batch of documents to a request we asked for almost contemporaneous with the shooting. We asked as soon as we could after everything went down, and we got the runaround. The idea that we had to wait almost a year and have to file well over a year and file a federal lawsuit to get access to this information is disturbing. So he was caught wearing this T-shirt. It's detailed in the material, and you know, if I was walking around wearing a T-shirt saying XYZ.com, I would think they'd go and get what I was doing on that website or what the connection was. And in this case, they had the connection almost immediately, and they seemingly pretended not to know. But on top of that, though, guys, is that, you know, it's really disturbing and not pleasant to read because it puts you back at that time. Mm-hmm. But almost immediately, everyone in the security apparatus around the president, President Trump at that time, was notified and noticed that there was this gentleman wandering around who was probably up to no good. And yet the president went up on the stage and remained on the stage as, quote, everybody was warned about him.
It's just incredible, first of all, that you had to go through all of this just to get this much out of them, but especially on that last point that there had been radio communication back and forth, it looks like, according to the tweet I'm reading from you, that it was to command, to Secret Service, to the Pennsylvania State Police. Do you think this is all part of a CYA mission, that they've been slow rolling facts about the attempted assassination of a once and now again president?
Well, you know, and I actually cut off the quote there. It was the law enforcement local official who I think is quoted there said it went out to everybody. And I just think there's this lack of commitment on the part of leadership to FOIA and getting information like this out. And because it really doesn't tell us new material in the sense that the Secret Service really blew it. But it's dramatic illustration of how the Secret Service blew it. And I tell you, I'm concerned about the safety of the president to this day, given how incompetent the Secret Service was that day.
So, I mean, these are two blockbusters out of this. Number one, it does confirm that this person was on their radar. Everyone there on the ground was suspicious of this person, and yet somehow lost track of him, or they knew where he was. Did they know he was on the ceiling or on the roof of that of the building at the time, or did they lose track of him, or did they even say, does the paper trail sort of describe exactly what happened? Because if they're trying to protect the president at a rally and there's somebody that everyone agrees is suspicious, you would think that you'd have eyes on him the entire time.
Well, it's kind of it brings you back to the day after or the day of where you saw these spattering of reports that someone screamed, "There's someone on the roof! There's someone on the roof!" And you know, he still got the shots off, by the way, and continued to get them off until finally a sniper took him out late a late sniper, meaning someone who could have gotten, could have taken care of him before he got those extra shots off that seemingly killed that individual and injured others. The other interesting thing is that there's a witness who said that she was almost hit by a Subaru that zoomed out of a parking lot right after the shooting. Do they say what was going on with that Subaru? No. But it raises additional questions. You know, this is the first batch of documents. They had 255 pages or so. We only got 35 pages or so. You know, Tucker Carlson has suggested there's all sorts of videos and things. So I just hope we're not in another Epstein mode from the FBI and Justice Department where they've got a boatload of documents but want a slow roll of release of them and take forever and a day.
Yeah, well, and Tom, that's sort of my follow-up question. I was speaking with Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch. Mr. Crooks, the attempted assassin, is dead. President Trump survived this assassination attempt, thank God. Who exactly is being protected by not releasing every single document related to this investigation? What possible reason are you given? You had to wait over a year for this tranche of documents. Why does it even take a FOIA request? Why does the FBI and the Secret Service not release every single document they have related to this? The suspect is dead. Who's being protected? What is it that needs to stay secret about this?
Well, there really is nothing that needs to stay secret. There may be material in there that should be removed or redacted under law, you know, like someone's Social Security number. Who knows, right? Or a witness name. Who knows? But none of that takes as long as it's taking. And I don't think there's any really good excuse. It's not like we don't complain about it. We're in federal court. You know, the only this is the first material that we've gotten about assassination attempt under FOIA from the FBI. I don't think we've gotten anything from the Secret Service about the actual attempt. Those photos that we've gotten before that Judicial Watch brought forward, we had gotten photos of him in and around that area from local authorities up in Pennsylvania, not the FBI, not the Secret Service. So it's not like there's an investigation going on locally that they thought they were impeding if they were going to be releasing information, which might be the only reason for a brief delay, because evidently he operated alone. If he did, then what was the holdup in getting everything they could out? I mean, look, the president was almost killed. Was it the JFK assassination? No, but pretty darn close and too close for comfort. You would think there would be a hyper-focus on transparency, and for we could speculate as to why, but there isn't, because we're in lawsuits right now trying to get all of the information, and who knows when we will get it all.
Okay, but quickly, let's circle back to what I think is the big headline here, which is despite ignorance or protestations of ignorance and doubt, there really is no doubt, given the T-shirt that he was wearing that connects him to this YouTube channel. And then if you trace back to comments that he made on that YouTube channel that were virulently anti-Trump and comments about how the only way you make change is through violence, there is no doubt that Mr. Crooks acted that day in hatred and animus toward Donald Trump, and he wanted to assassinate him because he hated Donald Trump. I mean, is there any doubt of that right now? Because we still, I don't think we've ever heard that proclaimed by the investigators.
No, and in fact, the left was promoting the exact opposite. That maybe he was some sort of strange Trump supporter and some right winger.
Right. The Jimmy Kimmel angle on it, I think. Yeah.
Which was politically convenient because it was in the middle of the campaign. And who blew it when it came to keeping the president safe at that time? It was the Biden Secret Service, who had already denied him the security he needed a candidate and a former president running for office. And by the way, also they didn't want to defend RFK Jr. either, protect him.
Tom, but I believe they put like triple the number of Secret Service on First Lady Jill Biden, also in Pennsylvania that same weekend. We got to leave it there. Tom Fitton, Judicial Watch, judicialwatch.org. Keep supporting that great organization so we continue to get these kind of reports. Thanks, Tom.
You're welcome. Thank you.